Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And look who's back. We're joined by our friend Brad Meltzer, who is out with his brand new novel, The Lightning Rod. This is his latest one, and it's also his 25th year of writing thrillers. And so, Brad, I feel like I should have brought you a silver anniversary gift or something along those lines, but this book starts out, I know you're a Florida guy, and this book starts out with a crazy crime or an attempted crime that is committed by a valet at a restaurant. Can you just explain how this book sets out? Because it reminds me of one of those things that would end up on the internet as Florida Man.
Well, as someone who lives in Florida now, I wouldn't blame you for saying that. This is my 25th anniversary as a thriller writer, so we wanted to start with a bang. And this starts with one of my great fears. When a character hands over his car keys to a valet at a fancy restaurant. And the valet takes the car keys, but instead of parking the car, he hits a little GPS button on the steering wheel and says the magic words, "Go home." And now the car plots a route to the man's house. The valet has the man's car keys. He's got his house keys that are on there, too, because this is a robbery. He's going to rob him. But as the valet breaks into the man's house, he sees there's actually another man there with a gun. This is not a robbery at all. This is a trap. And when the valet's body goes to our hero, Zig, Zig sees something on the body that no one's ever meant to see. And as a result, it leads to one of the government's most closely guarded secrets. Now, I just ruined chapter one of The Lightning Rod for you. but I feel like it's okay. It's just chapter one.
But as a percentage, these chapters are only 3 or 4 pages, so, you know, that's not a huge percentage of the book, right?
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And listen, well, the funny part was I was doing an event for The Lightning Rod 2 days ago in Florida. My young nephew raises his hand, who obviously, this is a book for adults, and he says to me, "Uncle Brad, what's in chapter two?" And I was like, I finally impressed my nephew.
You've got him asking what comes next. But, you know, this story, the Zig and Nola, it's the second time we've seen them and following up on the 2018 book. But you know, this whole idea that you've got the Dover place where our fallen soldiers come back and it's the world's biggest mortuary. You've got Nola, who's this artist in residence history with the American military. These two characters just scream like they should be in thrillers, but yet this is such a rare thing. So when you put them together in a thriller, what's the artistic thing in your mind that puts them together to say these two can actually work together as thriller characters?
You know, I think that the Lightning Rod, for, you know, it's a murder mystery. It has you turning pages. It's, you know, designed to leave you breathless. But at its base, it's a book that's about dysfunctional family. We all have dysfunctional families and born with dysfunctional families. And then we go and we make new families. And those are dysfunctional, too. And I firmly believe that just because a family is dysfunctional doesn't mean it can't also be beautiful. So Zig, as you said, works at Dover Air Force Base. It's a place where our fallen soldiers, when they die abroad, their bodies go. It's also where, when the space shuttle exploded, the astronauts' bodies went to Dover. You've seen those flag-covered coffins. It's where, on 9/11, all the Pentagon victims went to Dover. And even all of our spies from the CIA and everywhere else all across the globe, when they die on a secret mission, their bodies go to Dover, too, which means that Dover's a place filled with secrets. And Zig, he lost someone dear to his heart. So as a mortician, he's trying to give all these family members, you know, we all think morticians are about the living. They're not at all. I mean, about the dead. They're not at all. Morticians are not about the dead. They're about the living. That's who they serve. They try to give us that thing that's so hard to get when we lose someone close to us, which is closure. The most elusive thing that any mourner can ever try and get is closure. And he doesn't just want to take care of these fallen soldiers and these fallen victims. He needs to do it. He needs to do it for himself because he'll never have the closure himself. And Zig's belief is that, you know, if you want to make the world make sense, you got to put kindness in it. That's how you make the world a better place. It's a beautiful idea. It's a completely naive idea, but it's an idea worth fighting for. And Nola, as you mentioned, is based on, and this is true, again, it's all fiction, but this part's true, that Nola is an artist in residence for the U.S. Army. And since World War I, the U.S. Army has had an actual painter on staff who paints disasters as they happen, whether it's storming the beaches of Normandy or Vietnam or 9/11. And I'm like, you're telling me the government has someone who's racing in with, well, everyone else has got guns blazing, they're racing in with nothing but paintbrushes in their pockets. I said to them, I got to meet him. I want to meet him. And they said, you mean her. You want to meet her. It was a woman. And right there, Nola, as our character, was born. And she has a different view of the world than Ziggs. You know, she was thrown away as a little girl, treated like trash by her family. And she believes you want the world to make sense, you got to grab it by the throat and force it to make sense. So everyone says she's like our new girl with the dragon tattoo. And I love that compliment. But, you know, it's a very different view than Zig. They have completely different views of the world, but together, they're going to try and knit together what's basically their own dysfunctional family. And that's really how the thriller works, is watching the two of them try and figure each other out.
This whole idea about the artist in residence, a painter, you know, you would think in the age of digital technology where we can take tours through Google Maps of any city we want, it would seem that somebody could snap a digital picture and capture what a painter could capture. But what is it about painters that they're able to capture that a digital camera can't?
And listen, they can. A picture can actually capture a moment. What a painter captures is something different. And as the head of the military explained to me, is the reason we have a painter on staff is because a painter doesn't just paint what's really there. What a painter does is they can take a situation, look at it, take, you know, a picture captures one singular moment on 1 second of one day. What a painter can do is look at a week's worth of stuff and take a soldier from here and a soldier from there and put them together and show something in their eyes that they had yesterday, but in a situation that's happening today. What a painter does is they tell a full story. And it's a full story that maybe isn't just really happening in 1 second, but happening over time. And that's a beautiful idea. I love the idea that for all the resources we pour into war and into fighting, that we also pour into creation and into art. It's a really elegant idea when you think about it, and it's been going on in our military since World War I. And I love that. It makes me feel like stories are being told that we would never otherwise see. And that's exactly what's happening.
I'm chatting with Brad Meltzer about his brand new novel, The Lightning Rod. It is a thriller, and it's available everywhere. Brad, another government secret that you tapped into with this was this whole idea of the strategic national stockpile. And it's not just an idea. It actually exists. But can you explain just in brief what that is as it relates to what we read in the book?
Sure. You know, listen, I've taken my readers and my thrillers to the underground tunnels below the White House. You and I have spoken about over the years. I've done the hidden labyrinth below the U.S. Capitol. For this book, I found something even more amazing in my research, and this is true. The government actually has about a dozen secret warehouses hidden all across the country to deal with bioterror attacks, whether it's anthrax, whether it's smallpox. And it means that if there's an attack in New York, in California, in Texas, in Idaho, in Iowa, anywhere in between, that within a couple hours, the government can have antidotes on your doorstep. And I said, you're telling me that the government has secret warehouses hidden right in front of our faces all across the country. No one knows what's inside. I want to go inside there, right? I want to go in. And when you're reading The Lightning Rod as a thriller and you're trying to guess the killer, you're trying to guess the ending, you'll get to the final chapter. They're set inside one of these warehouses. And what you see inside this warehouse, I didn't make it up. What is in there, you'll see, is really in there in real life, even though the book is a thriller and a fiction.
You get access to this type of stuff as a thriller writer, and you've got sources, I'm sure, throughout the government. Does it ever get to the point during your research that you're made to sign anything saying that you won't disclose something you've seen, or do they control that on what they show you in the first place?
You know, I've worked with the U.S. government and the Secret Service for over 20 years now, and I think the reason that they continue to help me for 20 years, you know, President Bush and President Clinton both read my books, and I think the reason they continue to help me is because for 20 years now, I keep my word. They'll tell me, hey, listen, Brad, we're going to tell you this one thing. You can't write about it, but you need to understand it so that we can tell you about this thing, which you can write about. And for 20 years now, I'm a man of my word. And the same thing happened here. I went to a high-level person who used to work in one of the high-security agencies in our government, and I said to him, how do we even have secret conversations anymore? When everyone can see everything we're saying, when every secret comes out. And he explained to me it's true. Is when you hit send on an email, I don't care if you use WhatsApp, I don't care if you use Signal, the moment you hit that send button, your email is in cyberspace, someone can crack it with the encryption programs. So he said, if you want to write a secret email, here's what you got to do. He said, I want you to open a Hotmail account, Brad. I want you to write an email to me. but don't hit the send button. Instead, hit save drafts. And then give me the login to your account. Now I'm going to go into your account. I'm going to log in. I'm going to open up your saved drafts. I'm going to read what you wrote me. And now I'm going to write you back in there. I'm going to erase it and write you a new email. I'm also not going to hit send. I'm going to hit save draft. Now you and I are having a conversation over email. None of us have hit a single thing into cyberspace or hit the send button. And it's a great idea until General Petraeus, the former head of the CIA, used that idea that's in our book, The Lightning Rod, and on his own, cheated on his wife and contacted his mistress that way. And I called my buddy. I said, that's the idea you just gave me. And he said, you know what? I got it. I'll give you a better one. And what he gave me, you'll see in The Lightning Rod, but what you'll see is an even better trick and one that I did not make up.
I know the trick you're talking about, and it's a fantastic part of the book. This whole idea, though, of the bringing the family in, when you draw on that, are you drawing on experience of people who've lived these military lives? Because these people do lead different lives. There's a lot of secrets that husbands have to keep from wives just because of the work that they do in the government. Is that something that you've experienced as you've talked to people?
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, there is when one of the things at Dover that I found is a room that's called Personal Effects. And in that room, when a soldier's body comes back from the military, just as an example, they open up and put all their personal effects in this room, and that means they empty their pockets, they empty their wallets, and you wouldn't believe what secrets come back that people are not telling their families. There's nothing like family secrets. They'll see letters that are written to someone who's not their wives. They'll see wedding rings that are not their wives' wedding rings or their husband's wedding rings. I think there's no secrets like family secrets that we keep, and the whole book is obviously filled and about, when I talk about that dysfunctional family, of course it's built on family. There's no secrets like family secrets. And I also believe that the very best secrets we have in our lives are the secrets we keep from ourselves. And they, of course, as you see in the book, they drive the plot forward and give us some of the best twists and turns in there, I hope.
You've got a wide career of writing children's books, writing nonfiction thrillers, writing fiction thrillers. When you're sitting and writing The Lightning Rod, which I'm sure takes you a lot of time to both research and write, how do you keep it in your mind that, you know, you're starting this book and then all of a sudden you discover something or something pops in your mind like, God, that'd make a great nonfiction book. How do you keep it straight to keep on task with what you've got at hand when I'm sure your brain is going a million miles a minute?
Well, you know, I actually like the variety. So, I write these thrillers like The Lightning Rod, but I also write nonfiction books like The Lincoln Conspiracy about a secret plot to kill Abraham Lincoln that really happened. And that's real history as opposed to this fictional thriller. Then I also some days write my kids, we write our kids' books that I do with Chris Eliopoulos, the I Am series, I Am Amelia Earhart, I Am Abraham Lincoln, our newest ones are I Am Malala Yousafzai, and I Am Muhammad Ali. And I have kids and was tired of my kids being fed garbage online every day. I'm like, let me give them better heroes to look up to. On the back of I Am Muhammad Ali, it says, I will always fight for what I believe. I want my daughter to have that lesson. I want my sons to have that lesson. I love the fact that I get to do those books as well. And what it lets me do, Brian, is that every time I do a book and I leave the thrillers and I go do, for instance, a nonfiction book or a kid's book, it makes me even more excited to come back to the thriller. It recharges me. And same thing with when I go and do the thriller, I want to work more on the kid's books or on a different book. So it's just a matter of keeping which story is current in my head. But the truth is it helps recharge me and I hope make each book better than it could be.
Well, we've all been such a beneficiary of your 25 years of this marriage between you and thriller writing, and this latest one is just one of the best. It's called The Lightning Rod. It's the latest one by Brad Meltzer. It's a Zig and Nola novel. It's available everywhere. Check out anything Brad's ever done, whether it's TV, print. It's all fantastic. Brad, just another fantastic thriller and a great conversation, and I thank you for joining me again.
Well, listen, thanks for having me on, for supporting me in every different genre, especially as we turn to thrillers with The Lightning Rod. Thank you, my friend.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. I came in like a